Today, I'm going to talk to you about politics. Now that I have your attention, I am going to talk to you about politics because this is a political feast. The Feast of Christ the King is a political feast. Why do I say that? The word politics comes from the word polis, P-O-L-I-S. And polis in Greek is people. That's where you get the word police, which are the representatives of the people. And so when you're speaking about Christ the King, you're talking about the word king is the leader of a state, the leader of an order, a social order. And therefore, it is political because it is talking about who will ultimately order society and humanity. Who will be ultimately in charge? Now, of course, we are Americans. Most of us, or at least we're here because hopefully we made the choice to be here. And we're democracy, which means we're in charge. The people, the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's okay. But it's an interesting perspective. I've always found this interesting perspective that in Islam, democracy is considered a heresy. And the reason that democracy in Islam is considered a heresy is because Muslims believe that all authority belongs to God. And that when you give the authority to the demos, which is the people, kratos means structure, demokratos, kratos, structure, demos, people. That when you give power to the people, you are basically usurping the power that belongs to God. Now, here's the problem, and that is that they're partly right. They are partly right. Problem is, they're also partly wrong. But you see, they're right because, think about it. Christ the King. Is he the King? Or are we? Are we the King? Do we, in our democracy, are the people the king, or is Christ the king? Are we usurping the authority that belongs to God? Or is Christ the king just a kind of a nice title that we give him in order to say, yay, Jesus, for a little while? Yes, you're king, but we're going to gut your power. Nobody today believes in kings. You have the Queen of England. She has no power. Nobody believes in kings. Maybe we ought to change it. What do you think? Maybe we call him Christ the President. Or how about Christ the Prime Minister? Eh. So why do we keep it? And what's the point here? Now, please understand, here's where I'm getting at. If this title is meaningful at all, it has to have substance to it. Christ the King. Which means that the kingdom has to have some kind of, the king has to have some kind of authority. Otherwise, we're just talking about a ceremonial title, which is empty, and we can have nice music and sing nice songs, but ultimately, hey God, We're in charge. This is a democracy. I think it's something that every human being has to come to terms with. Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Of course, in Islam, it's God. We would agree, but is democracy out of the question? But never mind about that. Let me give you a little bit of history, because I think when you get a little bit of history about why we have the Feast of Christ the King, this will help you to get a little bit of a better insight. The Feast of Christ the King was inaugurated by Pope Pius XI in 1925. It's a fairly recent feast. Pius XI wanted to establish a feast in response to the history that he was living under. Now, I want you, those of you who know a little bit of history, to go back and imagine that you are an older man living in 1925. You've just been through World War I. You grew up in the Europe of the 19th century, filled with wars between different countries. The French Revolution had occurred not too long before, overthrowing a king. The terror that occurred after the French Revolution, where they actually turned Notre Dame Cathedral into a temple of reason, and they actually had a statue of reason and made reason their king. The guillotine was active. Then came Napoleon. Napoleon overthrew some kings, and then he himself crowned himself to be emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And Pope Pius XI had lived through that. And then as the 19th century went on, nations started to become a real thing. See, before then, nations did not really exist the way they do now. National interests were, the world was divided into little kingdoms here and a kingdom here with a lord, and maybe like Germany, for example, wasn't united. They had a whole bunch of little fiefdoms, and democracy was swinging in the United States. The Civil War was going on. All of that was happening in the 19th century. And then comes the 1920s, the Pope sees World War I, the disaster that was World War I, the disaster which was the war to end all wars, that kingdoms went slaughtered each other for really no really that great a reason. They just wanted power, and each country was fighting for each with each other. And then in 1918, the Communist Revolution came, the execution of the Tsar of Russia, the rise of communism, the rise of atheistic communism. Then the world was a huge bubbling cauldron of power struggles back and forth. Hitler was just about to rise. Germany was angry because it had thought it had been betrayed, because the Allies never did enter Germany in World War I. The Germans never believed they lost. And then there was the Allies and the entire constant struggle for power. And right before then, right a few years after that, came the Great Depression and the rise of Germany and stuff like that. See why it's all about politics? And in the midst of all of this, in 1925, the Pope, Pope Pius XI, said, you know why this is happening, don't you? Because the struggle for power, the moment you let go of God being the king, the real king of the universe, the thing that breaks out is the war of all against all. There's a philosopher, I can't remember his name now, every time I think of it, but that he had that the origins of humankind is actually the war of all against all. And if you think about it, the Pope was very right. He was very right. Ever since then, I mean, immediately after that, Japan decides that it wants to control. Hitler comes back. The Axis powers, and then Germany and the United States and Britain. And then you go on, and then you got Korea, and then you have China, Mao Zedong, you have Hitler, you have Mussolini. And if you think about it, think about all of those. What is that? It's just one giant struggle for power. And in the midst of that, the Pope said, the reason why it's happening is that we've forgotten that who really is king. It's God who is king. And the moment we take ultimate authority over each other, forgetting who is really above us, that is the moment that the wrath of God is shown. Now, let me just put a little bit of an aside. You may have heard of sometimes people refer to the wrath of God. Think about this. Because it's a real thing. Who is God? God, the Bible only says one thing. God is love, right? Now, if you take love outside the equation of human beings, remove love from human relations, what do you have left? Wrath. Once love is removed, you have wrath. The war of all against all, because the human being wants to control. And if you come right up to today, what's all going on in our own society in Western Europe? Struggle for power. It's all about either racism or white supremacy, or wokeness, and it goes on and on. I often like to call it the social melodrama. And every year, every age is absorbed with the social melodrama of its time. We just can't get away from it. And the reason is that we have forgotten who's in control. And what has happened is that what we're left with is the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not God being angry. The wrath of God is human beings turning on each other because they have removed God from the equation. That's the wrath of God. Jesus, when he was on the cross, showed us that there is no such thing as anger coming from God. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. There's no wrath there. If there would have been a moment for wrath, that would have been it. The wrath of God is what you have left when the king, who is God, is removed. Jesus comes, and you heard it in the gospel today. very interesting to gospel today. Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "You have said so. It is you who say that I am. But my kingdom does not belong to this world." And then he says, if my kingdom were of this world, my subjects would be fighting for me. I came to testify to the truth. And anyone who hears the truth, hears my voice, hears the truth. It's sad that they cut the next line. The lectionary didn't put the next line in. Do you know what the next line is? Pilate says, "What is truth?" Isn't that where we are today? What is truth? We live in a society where it says, that the operative political word is whatever. Whatever. And we will continue with the war of all against all. Pilate had Jesus crucified, and above the cross, he put a sign. The sign was supposed to be a joke. The joke was, here it is. Here's this loser, Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. The loser. Laugh. Except that when Jesus dies and defeats death in his resurrection, he shows himself to be above the social melodrama, above who is in charge, above the power struggles that we are involved in every day of our lives. And he shows that the joke was not by Pilate, it was on Pilate. Because the joke was, he really is the king of the Jews. Folks, we as Christians are people who believe that this whole mess that we've been going through, I enjoy studying world history, especially since the French Revolution. And if you look at all of the stuff that's happened, it's going to continue happening. The actors will be placed differently. We don't know where it's going to come. Will it be North Korea? Will it be Russia? Will it be China? Will Biden lead us into decline? Will China come? We don't know. Are we ultimately doomed to drown in our own racism or whatever it is? Or is that an illusion? It'll continue. I guarantee it. All that is going to happen is the words will change a little bit. But above the social melodrama that is going on, that absorbs us all, and has absorbed the world, and will continue to absorb the world, there is this one man. There is God who became human. And we acknowledge him to be the king of the universe. And as long as we're disconnected from him, we will continue to slaughter each other, oppose each other, reject each other. We will continue to do it all. And the reason is because we're disconnected from the real order. You see, the real order of the universe has to be the order created by God. Every time you say the Our Father, don't you say, "Thy kingdom come"? What you're saying is, may your order, the order of humanity that you intended, replace this mess that keeps on going and going and going. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done here in this mess of earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're asking. You're asking for the political to be replaced by the order of heaven. That's why when people say, oh, keep your religions away from politics, well, man, do you need to study a little theology? Because you don't have it very straight. The moment you say, thy kingdom come, you have made a political statement because you're asking for God's order to be dominant. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so today, it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder when you get frustrated by the news. You know, now we have a new riots going on. What is it? What, his name is Rittenhouse or something like that. Now everybody's, you know, he's a white supremacist. He was doing the right thing. Everybody's burning down again, more cities. And it'll go on. But the ultimate question is, who's in charge? Who's in charge, especially of your life? I've always liked that question. Somebody asked it of me a long time ago. Are you an American first and then a Catholic? Are you an American Catholic? Or are you a Catholic who happens to be an American? I know which I am. My allegiance first is to Jesus. I love being an American. I'm a naturalized citizen of the United States. I love it. But I know I'm a baptized follower of Jesus first. He is the King. And all of the laws that we make have to be under His kingship. Don't ever forget the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to one nation under God. You don't put that there, we just continue the social melodrama. And so think about, not only from the national point of view, here's what the ultimate point that I want you to get. If you are made nervous by the political situation, know that it has been this way and will continue to be this way for as long as the kingdom of God does not come. It will continue. How are you going to live in a world that is constantly having a power struggle, one with another? By remember who you owe allegiance to, first and foremost. Your allegiance is to Christ the King. He is the one who establishes the order of your life. And He is the one that has to establish the order of our nation. Not that democracy's bad, but all of our laws we always have to keep from first. And if you do that, I think in the midst of the chaos, you'll be able to exist with a bit of a modicum of peace. Because you know that we don't belong here. And as long as we're here, we live and we are responsible citizens. But ultimately, may thy kingdom come. May thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the only way you're going to get any peace in the midst of this topsy-turvy world. When you put Christ as the King of your life.